Well, I want to share with you tonight, and I'm going to start in Ephesians 6 chapter on prayer. And in Ephesians 6 chapter in verse 18, from the God's Word translation, it says, "Pray in the Spirit in every situation. Use every kind of prayer and request there is. For the same reason, be alert. Use every kind of effort and make every kind of request for all of God's people." I love that. It says, "Pray in the Spirit in every situation." Well, you know what? That's talking to all of us, because we all have situations, right? I mean, we all have challenges. Like, everybody has a story. Everybody has a situation. Everything that we confront and that confronts us, and there's challenges, we should be praying in every one of those situations and praying every kind of prayer and request there is, and make every effort in every kind of prayer to be praying for one another. Wow. So, you know, we need to learn how to pray. We need to learn how to approach God. We're just going to touch on one area tonight. I want to take you over to 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter. This is the prayer of Jabez. And I just want to kind of take my time and just, let's just share a few things here. And I won't keep you long. Somebody, I heard somebody tonight was praying that the preacher wouldn't be long-winded. So the popcorn's in the foyer and the cake and the coffee. So we're going to go out there and enjoy some fellowship. That's what we want to do on Wednesday nights, is come together and be encouraged in God and then have some fellowship with one another and enjoy the middle of the week. But here in 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter, now if you go and read the whole chapter, and I encourage you and challenge you to do that, because, and I say it that way because this is like a genealogy chapter. So-and-so begat so-and-so, and I'm not even going to try to read half their names. It's like, my word, don't they have any Johns or Henrys in there, or even some Stans? I'd go for a Stanley, but there's none of those in there. But you start reading this genealogy of folks and the history of people and of faith, and there's really this, right in the middle of this, it brings out this one guy named Jabez. He gets a whole two verses. And you know, when books have been written about the prayer of Jabez. Books have been written about people who have read the book of Jabez, about some of the goofiness that people claim to be walking in, all kinds of stuff. And I've read so many of those, and I just, so many people I've seen back up from the blessings of God, back up from faith sometimes. But I'm not going to throw the baby out with the wash. If there's things that go on in the church realm that, you know, aren't appropriate or goofy and challenging, but there's truth in God's Word, regardless how we act. So I want to continue to glean from and get the most I can out of God's Word. I want it to speak to me. When I read this about Jabez, and we're going to read the two verses here in just a moment, you know, you have to just sit and meditate on and glean from that and get as much as you can out of it. Even though you don't read much about Jabez, you can read into this the kind of man that he was, what he was asking for, what God was doing. And because I want some progression in this too. I want in my life, I want to progress. I want to grow. I want to overcome some things. I want to dream. And then to me, this is like a dreamer's prayer. Jabez was dreaming of so much more than what he was. And he's asking God. And you and I, we need to dream big. And I realize that God is, he's the dream maker. He's the one that fulfills our dreams. And I'm just so grateful for that. And you think, and I'm, you know, I want to encourage you to think that, man, your life is like a dream come true. If you know Jesus, you say, yeah, but my life's been difficult. Hey, look at it in the big picture. Man, that God came and redeemed us and bought us back. And I get to experience eternal life. That I get to see the New Jerusalem. I get to see the holy city one day. I get to stand in the glory of God and see the pearly gates. And a city that is so fabulous, it's hard to even imagine what it must look like. And so, you know, those are dreams that are going to come true. But what about this life? And I encourage you, are you dreaming? Are you dreaming? Are you dreaming big? Because with Jabez, I think he kind of had a glitch in his life that he was trying to overcome. And he said, God, I want to be from this to something so much more. Now let's read the two verses there in verse 9. And listen, he's doing this genealogy, man. So-and-so begat so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And all that. It's like, man alive. And then he pauses and he speaks about this one man. And I would say, you know what? Then that ought to make me pause and say, okay, what's he saying here? If this is this, God put that in there for a reason, right? He put that in there for a reason for us to grow from the scriptures for our learning. So let's look at verse 9. It says here, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. His name was Pain. It's like, oh, Jabez, right? What's your name? Hey, Pain, what a pain, you know, hey. And he's like a man named Sue, you know, with a boy named Sue, that kind of. He probably grew up with all kinds of razzing and persecuting and bullying. And so he had a name that was Pain. And so I see him trying to overcome that. Now let's look at this. He said, and Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. So see, I sit and let my imagination soar sometimes. I think about Jabez and they emphasize the fact here that his name was Pain. And then I thought, well, what could his life have been like? Well, he had challenges because he was asking God for so much more. He's asking God for so much more. So I know he had challenges. I don't even know how old he was. I don't know the details of his life. But I know that God wants us to get something out of this. And so we're going to look at this and just kind of, I know this. It was a heartfelt prayer. Because in James, it tells us that the heartfelt, sincere prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It also talks about us approaching God and praying according to God's will, that God hears us and we get the petition that we ask. See, God's the same today as he was yesterday, and he always will be. And I believe that God's looking for our sincere heart's cry to him, that God responds to the cry of the soul. And when I think about those things and I relate my life and the experiences of my life and those around me, then I can understand Jabez a little bit more. That he's coming out of a life that he's experienced some things and he knows what to ask God. He knows what to ask God and he knows it's okay. Because it starts off, the first thing he does is, God, bless me. Did you know it's okay that you can ask God to bless you? With the right heart attitude, Nehemiah asked that God would bless him in his endeavor to go and be a strength to the children of Israel, to build the walls of refuge. God bless me and those that are with me. Bless us in the cry of our heart, in the endeavor of our heart. So it's okay to say, God bless me, when you have a right heart attitude. We had guys in Bible school that were getting a hold of the word of faith and, you know, being able to realize that their confession made a difference, and they were saying, God bless me with an oil rig. Hey, how about you start with bless me with a pair of socks, Lord? Let's do our faith and see how far our faith goes. They just had a wrong heart attitude. Y'all been around guys like that. But here Jabez, where he starts out, he says, listen, these are the things that we should pray for. We're going to cover these four things that he cried out to the God about. Number one is he prayed for a blessing. And when we pray for a blessing, I read in Proverbs where the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. But I've also read scripture when I think about when I read that he makes one rich, sometimes there's another scripture that says if you'll follow the Lord your God, he'll make you to profit. And my first time I read it, I said, profit? Yeah, buddy, come on. Money, 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 money. Profit, profit, profit. I want some profit. But when I read that in Hebrew, that wasn't what he's talking about at all. When he said, if you serve the Lord your God and follow your God, he'll make you worth something. So I kind of read between the lines, are you saying without you I'm worthless? Okay, that's your opportunity to say, yeah, that's right. So God is, he's going to make us beneficial. To be beneficial to other people and in this world. Lord, bless me to be a blessing. And then when God, when you make me rich and you're blessing me, what does that cover? That covers health, of course. Lord, I want to be rich in health. Lord, I want to be rich in my ideas and in your favor. God, bless me to walk in your favor. Bless me to walk in wisdom. What is it that you need? Everybody here could say, God, I need your blessings in my life. Because I'm sure shortchanged in this area. So you could probably say, Lord, this is what I'm challenged with, and I really need you in this. So God, bless me here in this area. Psalms 18, verse 35, it says, and I'm going to read two scriptures, one in Genesis 12. Psalms 18 says, you make your saving help my shield, and your right hand sustains me. Your help has made me great. Your help has made me great. So, you know, I ask the question is that, do you want to be great? Great at what? Great how? And David said, Lord, your help has made me great. Let's look in Genesis, the 12th chapter, where God is speaking to Abram. And this is even a time that was like 25 years before it came to manifestation. You know, it was at 25 years later, this is when he was 75 years old, 25 years later when he's at 99, he said, I'm going to make this covenant with you. Now, we're going to cut a covenant. You're not going to be called Abram anymore. You're going to be called Abraham. And he's going to bring this to fruit. But here, even 25 years previous, the Lord said to Abram, he said, I will make you into a great nation. I will make you more. I'm going to make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. But now you got to get the rest of it. He said, I will make you famous and you will be a blessing to others. To me, that's the key to it. Why is God blessing us? Why does God want us great? So that we can bless others. God wants to make you a blessing to be a blessing to others, because it's not about you. It's about the kingdom, right? It's about the kingdom work. To me, that's a key right there. When you read all this, God's going to make you great. You're going to be successful. In God's plan, He wants you to be successful in impacting the lives of other people. Because God's all about people. He's all about relationships. So the more that He wants to bless us with is to bless others. Lord, give me more than I need that I can be a blessing to others. Lord, give me more than I need so I can be a blessing to the world around me. That should be our heart attitude. That's the heartfelt, sincere prayer that God honors. When it's not about you, but it's also about those around you. Now, the second thing, you know, when that he said was, Lord, enlarge my territory. So the second thing that you and I should be praying for is to pray for influence. Pray for influence. See, God has available to you a life bigger than you. If you could get a hold of that one statement tonight, it'd radically change your life. God has made available to you a life bigger than you. Greater than you. Greater than you've experienced. That should give you great hope for what God wants to do in your life. Have you ever noticed that the happiest people are the people with purpose? Have you ever been around successful people? Successful people have purpose. Purpose in life. Purpose and vision. Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 18, it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know, in order that you may know, in order that you may know, I pray that your eyes be enlightened so that you could know the hope to which He has called you. God has called you for something. And there's great hope in that. He's called you the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people. Wow. You know, if God has called you, every person sitting here, I'm just talking to you right now. If He's called you, there's a destiny for you to fulfill. You have a purpose. And with that, you also have a design. If God called you, He designed you a certain way. And your design points toward your destiny. That's part of why what we do our next steps on Sunday mornings to to discover about victory life, to discover about God, but also to discover your gifts and talents. That's my favorite week right there. Is that when we go in and we find out, okay, what makes me tick? What are your gifts? What are your talents? You know, are you people-oriented and people-task or task-oriented? What is your design? Because your design points to your destiny. If you figure out what makes you tick, you can figure out where God's heading you. Are you with me? Because God has a call on your life, a purpose for you to fulfill. Whether it's in business or ministry, whatever it might be, God wants to use you in the purpose He's designed you for. Right? And you got to see that. Jabez is saying, God, I have a purpose. I have a design. I want to discover that. I want to be more than what I am right here. I don't want to be just called my mama's pain, you know. And every year my birthday comes up, she tells me about how I was born, how painful it was. Lord, surely I'm better than that, you know. Surely there's more to it than that. So your inheritance and your purpose is people. It's about people. People. Not the function of your design, but that the function of your design is about His kingdom and reaching people. Amen. Psalms 2, verse 8, he said, the Lord said, ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. See, God wants you to, He wants to use you to influence people. It really comes down to that. God wants you involved with other people. He's all about relationships. And I'm not saying you got to be in the pulpit. I'm not saying you got to fit that certain genre design that you see. God's got so much more. So much more that you could just plug in and fit and find your purpose. Amen. Lord, show me the purpose for my life that I can live a life bigger than my own. That ought to be a statement of our heart. Lord, let me live a life bigger than my own. Let me be more than what just I've seen. When God gives you influence that's bigger than you, what's the next step? You got to pray for His presence. It's like Jabez did. Lord, I pray for Your presence. Let Your hand be with me. Let Your hand be with me. Acts 11:21 says, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. That particular scripture is right in the middle of the persecution of the church. It's right after Stephen was stoned to death. The church was being persecuted. Christians were scattering. And they were going and they were ministering primarily to Jews. But the Lord had a bigger plan. How many know God's always got a bigger plan for your life than what you see? We think we got a grip on it, but it's so much more. And right in the middle of that, they started ministering to the Gentiles. And it says the Lord's hand was with them. And a great number of the Gentiles, it's talking in the context, a great number of the Gentiles believed and came to the Lord. Why? Because the Lord's hand was with them. Excuse me. The Lord's hand, and we need God's hand upon us. Listen, I can't do the job without Him. Nor do I want to. I don't want to venture. I don't know, Jabez probably saw the same thing. Maybe he had tried it. Maybe he tried to overcome some of his past. Maybe he tried it on his, God, I need Your hand on me. In Exodus, I love this, Exodus 33, Moses said to God, he said, Lord, if Your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. If You ain't going with us, I don't want to go. Right? I feel the same today. Lord, if You ain't with me, I don't want to go. When Pastor Dwayne asked us to come to Brownwood, wow, that's been a few years ago. My hair was darker. My mustache was dark. I had a little bit more hair. And he asked us to pray about coming to Brownwood. And I said, I'll go, but you can't take me down there and leave me now. I don't even know where Brownwood is. Don't go down there and leave me alone now. You just run off and leave me. And he never has. He loves you. He loves us, doesn't he? Love my pastor. But here's Moses saying, listen, if Your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us up from here. How will anyone know that You're pleased with me and with Your people unless You go with us? What else will distinguish us, distinguish me and Your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name. Lord, I don't want to do just church to be doing church. I don't want to just do church because everybody else does church a certain way. Lord, I don't want to just this church genre to fit like everything else in the past. I don't want to look for you like I saw you in the past. What are you doing today? If you're not going with us, not guiding us, I don't want to do it. Y'all with me? Y'all seeing the way I think? I want to follow the Lord the way He does it. Lord, if you ain't going with me, I ain't going. Lord, be with me. Because what you've called me to do is too big for me. You ever feel that way? God, you got to be with me. Because God has a life that's bigger than me for us. And keep me, the last one, he prayed, he said, and keep me from harm. So God, I need your hand with us. I want you to give me the influence. I want to step out with you. I want to walk with you and enlarge my boundaries. And Lord, I need your hand with me. But Lord, I need your protection. Why? Because evil comes. Because it's not going to be a bed of roses. There are challenges that when we do things that God leads us to do, even in that, there are challenges ahead of us. Have you? How many of you figured that out? Okay, three of you. It's awesome. Okay. The Bible talks about the devil. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, very familiar scripture. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He's looking for someone that he can ruin their world. He can mess them up. Are you with me? He's looking for someone that he can disturb and get them discouraged and disheartened. I was listening to Chris Hodges one time and him being discouraged, and they'd asked him, said, you know what? Are you discouraged? He said, no, I'm complimented. I thought, oh, that makes sense. If he wasn't doing something positive for God, the devil would probably leave him alone. He's like, whoa, that's a real compliment to me. You coming after me? You must be threatened. That's awesome. That kind of gets a whole new twist on it, isn't it? Say, God, don't let me get discouraged. Let me get encouraged to drive it faster. Oh, praise God. So he wasn't doing anything. You've heard the old saying, he'd probably leave you alone. Well, you know, he's going to leave you alone as a Christian. You got a life in you. He wants to destroy you. But listen, he's looking for someone to devour, like a roaring lion. A lion is just a big cat. It's of the cat family, right? And aren't you tired of being cat food? We need to take authority over the devil and quit letting him have his way. We're in a spiritual battle. Spiritual warfare is real. And so, God, I'm asking your protection as I do warfare, as I step out with you, God. You be my shield, my buckler, my exceedingly great reward, Lord, and start taking authority over the lying devil. Take authority. It's your authority. When I first started walking with the Lord, we'd start praying and taking authority over the devil, and there was those that would say, ooh, easy now, be quiet, he might hear you. It's like, I want him to hear me, you know? He's a defeated foe. Romans 8th chapter. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, I need to put that in context of what that's plugged in there for. That comes from Psalms, the 44th chapter, quoted from there. And it says that we are considered as sheep for the slaughter. The devil is looking at you that way, not God. He said, listen, we, for your sake, we are killed all the day long. We are considered as sheep for the slaughter. That's what the devil's looking at. But he goes on to say, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are not appointed to slaughter. We are not just sheep just waiting to be slaughtered. We're more than conquerors. We're the bride of Christ. Oh, the greater one lives in us. And we ought to be telling the devil where to get off. Lord, let your hand be with me, Lord God. Protect me with the authority of your word. Show me how to do spiritual warfare so that I can be more than a conqueror. Strengthen me and protect me from every attack of the enemy. Now listen, let me say a few things here as I wind this down. When we're praying, when you're praying, there are two choices in prayer. You can choose two things in prayer. What you want to talk about or what God wants to talk about. You're going to talk about what you want to talk about, your past, your pain, your sorrows, your problems. But when you talk about what God wants to talk about, you're talking about His promises, His potential in you, His design in you, His purpose for your life, and the greater one lives inside of you. So think about that the next time that you pray. Lord, am I praying this correctly? Am I praying in faith? Am I focusing on what needs to be focused? Because listen, you're communicating with God. He knows your needs. But you have to ask, of course, for those needs to be met. But you don't have to tell Him how bad it is. He knows how bad it is, and He knows how to get you out. So you talk about what God wants to talk about. See, prayer isn't about moving God closer to you. Prayer is about moving you closer to God, getting your faith where it needs to be. Listen, God makes dreams come true. He's still a God to be found. He's still a God with all the answers. Jabez recognized that. We need to recognize that. We need to be full of vision. We need to be full of influence. We need to be full of impact and to walk with God. God, walk with us as we follow your direction. So the four things that he prayed for a blessing. God, bless me in my endeavors to follow you. Bless me. Lord, and he prayed for influence. God, I pray for my boundaries to be expanded in you. Let me reach out. Let me be the witness that you've called me to be. Give me the territory. Give me the land, Lord. Pray for his presence. Presence. Listen, that's one of the things in my sabbatical time was the one thing that I focused on was focusing more on his presence, not his power. Because if I find his presence, I'll find his power. Yeah. Amen? I might go look where the power is happening because I want to find his presence. But Lord, I need your presence. And then pray for protection. He's our shield. Now, and I'm going to close with this one. It's just a quote. It's just a quote. And before I read this, you know, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I've looked at it in many ways, and it talked about the men, people of valor, lay hold of the kingdom. To lay hold of the kingdom. That's what we want to do, right? And we want to lay hold of what God has for us, to be aggressive and be men and women of valor and heart, courageous, men and women of faith, and we just have to make it happen. Listen, I'll just close with this quote. It's by Steve Brown. Essentially, there are two actions in life. Performance and excuses. Make a decision as to which you will accept for yourself. Will I be a person of performance? Or will I be locked into excuses? I had an older gentleman, which is so much closer to my age now, when I was 38 years old. He got saved when he was like 41. I got close to him in an industrial fabrication shop. I got to know him and got to hear his heart. He came out of the war and got saved. He was a welder on ships and stuff. And after he got saved, he started ministering in the prisons. And all those years, he was in his 70s then, and he never missed a weekend ministering in the prisons. I forget countless number of people that were saved because he'd go to the prisons and encourage the people in prison. He took it literal that the word told him to go and preach to people and minister to them, preach to the people that needed the light in a world of darkness. And it was so impressive. And he started giving, in his giving, his financial giving, his, you know, where we give above our tithe. I want to become a giver, not just a tither. A A tither's my obligation. But I want to give above that because I want to become a giver. He was in the 50 percentile giving of his salary. I thought, whoa, there's my goal right there. But he always told me, I don't know if that's the way to just jerk slack out of me. You know, I'd come up with an excuse, kind of, I didn't get this or that or didn't do it just right. An excuse is just the skin of a reason filled with a lie. I thought, what? But that's my excuse. Skin of a reason filled with a lie. Do it. Get her done, boy. I thought, okay. But you know what? That's why we should determine in our hearts as Christians, be aggressive in our faith. Amen? Don't let the devil back us down, back us away, or back us out.
Yes,
that's right. So God, I pray, Father, I pray that you will make me a blessing to be a blessing to others, to the world around me. Amen? I know there was something that the Holy Spirit was speaking to your heart tonight. Because that's what he does. He speaks to our hearts. If we're listening, we can hear it. And whatever he's saying to your heart tonight, you need to take it and run with it. One of the things, and I've shared it with a couple of people, that I've learned to do, and during the sabbatical I was doing that, is like when I have a challenge, I want to get into the Word and I want to find my seed. I want to find my seed. Lord, that's my seed right there. I'm going to plant that in my heart. That truth right there, that's speaking to my heart. I'm going to plant that inside of me and I'm going to let it grow. I'm going to let it flourish. I'm going to let it bear fruit. I'm going to live out of the fruit of it. I'm going to live out of that fruit. Not just out of my labor, but out of that fruit in my life. That little word that God's given you tonight, that's your seed. Did something just go off inside of you? Wow, that's what he's saying to me. That's your seed. Plant that in your heart. Let God water it. Let God bring it to fruition. In the sower and the seed, I know I hadn't preached in forever, so I'm unloading tonight. In the parable of the sower and the seed, there's five things that bring fruit to your life. First, you got to hear it. What did you hear tonight? Secondly, you got to receive it. I believe that's God saying that to me. I don't quite understand it all yet, but I receive it. That's what God's saying to me. The third thing was to understand it. So God, I'm going to lay hold of this until you bring the revelation of it to me. I'm going to hang on to it. The fourth thing was to keep it or guard it. God, I'm not going to let it get away from me. You said this. I'm going to hang on to this. I'm going to guard this word you've spoken to me. And the fifth thing says, with patience you'll come forth and bear much fruit. So what is it that God said to you tonight? As we close our service tonight, don't leave that at the door. Don't drop your seed. By forgetting it, you may want to say, darling, I didn't bring a notepad. Will you borrow your arm? I got to write this down right quick. Take a note. Write it down. And then let God water it. Because he wants to do something for you tonight.